This afternoon, our text comes from the chapter we read for our New Testament reading, Romans chapter 12. And the text we'll focus in on is verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints given to hospitality. In the closing portion of Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul gives a series of imperatives, a series of charges to the people of God, regardless of their situation in life, though they are a unique member in the body, and not all members have the same functionality and purpose and usefulness, yet all Christians are bound to love each other without dissimulation or without pretense. All the brethren are commanded not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. And so we have a kind of a catalog of various imperatives given to the Christian church. The one brief imperative that we will consider with God's help this afternoon from verse 13 is given to hospitality, or that we as God's people should be given to hospitality. Now let us consider first the meaning of hospitality. The meaning of hospitality. The word in the original more narrowly refers to a special regard for strangers. A special regard for strangers. Different ethnicities, cultures, subcultures. That's really what the word means. Love of the stranger. The person who is passing through. The individual who is overlooked or perhaps is looked down upon with prejudice because he's not one of us. In the ancient world, it was an honorable thing for foreigners passing through to be welcomed into hearth and home, though they were not of the people of the land. And it was a great dishonor not to engage in this responsibility. And so in this respect, the call to Christian hospitality only agrees and coheres with what the moral law tells all human beings, that we should love our neighbor as ourselves, even if that neighbor speaks Farsi or Chinese and is rather different from ourselves. So that's what the word means in a very narrow sense, a special regard for strangers. The Lord Jehovah said to his people, "Remember the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, because you yourselves were once strangers." Even more narrowly, hospitality usually involved sharing of food and the comforts of home, especially for those traveling far from home, and especially those servants of God whom we do not personally know who needed temporary or extended provisions, as Elisha, who passed by from time to time, and that godly woman spoke to her husband and said, "Look, this is a man of God, and he's bringing us spiritual provision by his preaching, but he's got a body like everyone else. And he needs a place to rest and provisions." The woman of Zarephath, she She showed hospitality, did she not, to Elijah? Even taking her very slender resources and giving it to the prophet, the man of God. And in the New Testament, we read especially of the honor and the privilege to show kindness to gospel strangers, to those who come from afar on the errand of peace. They especially are to be cared for. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. So Christians are called by the Apostle Paul to be given. Not just every once in a blue moon to check the box, oh, I've made sure that I've done the very least possible. No, Christians should never, never feel that way. It should be, what can I render to the Lord for all his blessings to me? How can I share? How can I bless? How can I go outside of myself and serve others? So, narrowly, the virtue of hospitality to which Paul urges that Christians should be given to, dedicated to, is a special regard for strangers, involving the giving of food and the comforts of home. But more broadly, the term involves sharing our outward blessing, our tables and our homes, with any of the brethren, whether near or from far, and really with any human being who bears the image of God, and all human beings do bear that image. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Distributing to the necessity of saints given to hospitality. Second, having looked at the meaning of hospitality, the encouragements towards hospitality. Well, first of all, there is the good example of the godly. The good example of the godly. There was a certain household in the days of our Lord in Bethany. Two sisters and one brother. And one would not expect very much from a house of two single sisters and one brother, perhaps. But oh, they opened their home. They opened their home to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were mindful of the opportunity to bless this great rabbi and his disciples, all 12 of them. They've been out, they've been teaching, they've been ministering all day long. They are tired, they are weary, they are hungry. Quick, let's pull things together. We may not have been planning for it, but now they're here, they're on the doorstep, and what a joy and an opportunity it is. Oh, they were given to hospitality. It wasn't a twisting of the arm. It was a delight. Come under my roof. Rahab is commended for her hospitality, showing hospitality to two spies. But they were spies from the army of the people of God. And they needed care and they needed provision. And they needed it to be done on the down low, one might say. She opened her home, and oh, by that hospitality, she saved herself and her household. And so she demonstrated her secret faith. No, it wasn't her hospitality that in and of itself saved her. No, it was her faith in Jehovah. But James goes out of his way, doesn't he, to point to Rahab, to the commendable example. Look at this woman. She could have easily said, "You? No. You can't come here." But she welcomed them in. Her house was their house. And when it was necessary, she showed them the way up to the roof and covered them over until those officers of the city of Jericho were gone. How many examples do we have in Scripture of hospitality? Time and time again. And so the Lord encourages us, because when we are on the receiving end of hospitality, we know what it feels like to be thought of, to be remembered, to be front and center in all considerations. Everything else fades away. The focus is on you. That's what Christians are to be about, given to hospitality. The Lord has also given so many good examples to us in our lives, has He not? I can think of so many households, special households, especially a few that come to mind over the years, that have been such positive examples. Always thinking of others. There's Michael. He's alone. Why don't we have him over? There's so-and-so over there. Well, you see, this is not simply so that we can be on the receiving end, but so that we can receive the blessing and then turn it around. And keep on circulating. You know what? When bodies of water don't circulate, they stagnate. An algae grows and it becomes a dead pool. No, it needs to circulate. And that's how it needs to be with the people of God. We receive these blessings and these good examples so that we can imitate them. Some other encouragements towards hospitality, so that we can not just put our toe in the pool of hospitality, but dive head first into it. We can get new friends and deepen existing friendships. In the superficial age in which we live, in which we have 1,000 virtual friends, so few of us have even a handful of true and meaningful friendships. We've lost the art of hospitality. So many of us are lonely. And we're waiting for somebody to show us friendliness and kindness. Well, there is wisdom for us in that case. A man that hath friends, says the proverb, must show himself friendly. You need to give. You need to give. And God will make sure that you receive in time. By hospitality, by being not just tentative, but fully committed, fully embracing hospitality, we thereby celebrate and further the communion of the saints. Acts 2:46. And they, these primitive early Christians, by the way, when you hear primitive Christians, that's not a Neanderthal Christian. That's just an older way of saying the early Christians. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Don't you love the confession of faith when it includes an entire chapter on the communion of saints? And it says that we are not only to share with each other in spiritual things, but we are to minister to each other in carnal, outward things, thereby exhibiting our oneness in Christ. Ladies in particular have a special opportunity to bless and to exhibit feminine grace. Of course, hospitality is a duty of men and women, but we do see that inasmuch as the balance of a wife and a mother's responsibility is in the home, this is a wonderful opportunity, especially for her to exercise this grace with and alongside her husband. Think of the qualification for widows who are to be taken into the number of those provided for in the church. Listen, well, she is to be well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. You know what he's saying? And I hate to put it quite like this, but he's saying, if a widow lacks these qualifications, she can't be on the rolls. But the point, of course, here is that this is to be the ideal woman who's not just thinking about herself, but is forgetting herself and serving others. In terms of encouragements to hospitality, husbands and fathers can thereby bless others exponentially and don't even need to sacrifice quality family time to do it, because we're all together as a family. There are psychological benefits. Christian, have you not tasted and seen the goodness of this? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Some of you are empty and dry and lonely and hurting, and maybe you need to hear this. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Benefits for children. By our practicing hospitality, and parents need to take the initiative. But children are a part of this. You can model for your children unselfishness, thoughtfulness, and courtesy. What's that word, courtesy? Seems like a forgotten word these days. Oh, I noticed that your glass is empty. Can I get you a refill? Here, you go first. You're showing to your children these Christian principles before their very eyes. You can train them in it, incorporate them in helping and sharing, helping even prepare the meal. You can help them in their socialization skills. In talking with grown-ups, it's not always a straightforward matter, is it? We, as young people, would rather talk to those of our own age group. But, you know, it's a good thing to get out of our shell and to talk with all different kinds of people. And hospitality is the perfect time to do that in a measured degree so that you can bring your child into that situation, but when they start to overload, you can release them and let them go. You can help them to learn to appreciate different kinds of people. I've said it before, but my father was a tremendous example in this way, inviting rather different people over for dinner. It was unpleasant at the time, but now I look back on it and I see I needed exposure to different kinds of people, different cultures. What an educational opportunity it is to have somebody from a foreign country come, and you're asking them questions about what it's like in their country, what their language sounds like, what kind of food they eat. It's just a blessed opportunity. This shouldn't be a cudgel to club us. This is a sweet, excellent virtue. It will not harm you. Don't be scared of it. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Now, third, the way of hospitality. Some broad principles to govern our practice. Do it to give, not to get. Do it to give, not to get. Our Lord said, "Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee or invite thee again, and a recompense or repayment be made thee." Now, Jesus is not saying, don't invite your friends to dinner. But he's using strong language to say, don't just invite your friends. Don't just invite people that you like to invite, and they're going to invite you back, and you're going to have a nice time. Remember them. Do not forget the stranger and those who cannot repay. But when you make a feast, call the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they can't pay you back. They can't do it. You shall be recompensed, paid back at the resurrection of the just. Have you ventured out on Christ's call there? Try it. Because the reward is infinite. Plan to do good. Sometimes there's the spontaneous hospitality. Some stranger darkens the door of the church, and it does my heart good when I know that they're invited to dinner. But sometimes we have to plan in advance to do good and to show hospitality. Isaiah 32:8, the liberal or gracious soul deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. There's got to be a use of the mind, a thoughtfulness, planning things out so that it's doable, so that it's sustainable. You certainly can't, husbands, fathers, you certainly can't just surprise your wife again and again. Maybe once, maybe it's something that you couldn't prevent, she'll understand. But if you do that with any regularity, it's not going to work very well. You got to plan these things. Sometimes it means that, well, there's certain times of the year, certain times of the month, it's just not going to work. But we're going to think, we're going to talk through it. We don't want it to fall through the cracks, because it can be so easy to let these things fall through the cracks. And you know what happens is people fall through the cracks. We can't have that. not as Christians. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. But be ever on the ready, because sometimes situations drop down in your lap. Hebrews 13:2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, like the three angels that came to Abraham unannounced. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Don't run from these moments. Seize these moments. Jerome, commenting on this text, said, we should be as eager to detain these visitors as though they were robbers carrying off our savings. Don't go! Come, sit down now, I'm getting the coffee on. Don't overlook opportunities just because they're not wrapped in nice packaging with a bow on top. Manton says, some refuse things because of outward appearance, but they refuse Christ unawares. I was hungry and you did not feed me. I was naked, you did not clothe me. I was in prison, I was sick, you didn't visit me. Oh, let us seize those opportunities given to hospitality. Some detailed advice and help. Measure twice, cut once. Think about how best to go about it. Compare apples with apples. Don't compare with others who are not like you. Not everyone can show the same kind of hospitality, the same frequency of hospitality, the same scale, the same price tag. Some people can set out a pretty impressive meal. Others may involve some spam. But don't compare yourself with others. You know, some people, they can have a much cleaner house because they're empty nesters. So just remember that. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. I don't think there's anything wrong with entertaining people, but don't let that get in the way of just showing simple hospitality. Pace yourself. Don't rush yourself. Don't let your spouse rush themselves. Divide and conquer. Divide up the load. Share the load. Oh, but you say it's going to cost me. Well, it is going to cost you. Giving always costs something. But when love is in the driver's seat, you're not going to be as concerned about costs. And the Lord will provide. In fact, isn't hospitality a display of faith? God has provided and He will continue to provide. And He will continue to provide even if the cost of gas is $6 a gallon. I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. And there isn't any fine print here that says, given to hospitality as long as it's not a recession. I don't have enough time. Maybe that's because you need to make time. Maybe that's because you're doing too much. I'm shy. Well, maybe you have a chatterbox. in the family? Use him or her. Are you shy? Here is a fail-safe trick for any awkward situation. Ask questions. Deflect the focus upon them. Where did you grow up? Where did you go to school? What did you study in school? Just ask questions. You know, people like to be asked questions about themselves. So, ask questions. But I'm single, Pastor. Well, again, one size doesn't fit all. Focus on the general principle. Let love rule. Love your neighbor as yourself and show kindness according to your ability and calling and position in life. Maybe that means instead of preparing something, you order in. Or maybe you teach yourself how to cook. Some of us have had excellent meals at the hand of a male chef. I'm afraid I am not one of them. Order in. Take someone out. I'm messy, though. Oh, the house is just so messy. Well, then, clean it. And recruit the mess makers. If they made the mess, let them help you clean the mess. Even better yet, if they made it, have them clean it up. And don't do it because you know they're going to groan and drag their feet. And then when they're done cleaning the mess, say, come here, you're going to help me make the salad. But I don't know how to make a salad. That's what I'm going to teach you. Reconcile yourself to imperfection. Reconcile yourself to imperfection. It doesn't need to be perfect. In fact, by allowing something of the imperfection of your life and your household show through, you just may be putting your guest at ease. These people are normal human beings. They're not from Pluto. But above all, let us remember. Let us remember our Lord Jesus Christ. He who had not a roof, he refused it. He left it. Foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He gave himself indeed as a single man because his mission would not involve leading about a wife or children. Who was on the receiving end of much godly Jewish hospitality, but who has served us far more wonderfully and perfectly than we could ever serve each other. He has given his own flesh. He has given his own blood to feed a needy world. He is the great host, and therefore, he says, freely you have received. Therefore, Christian, freely give. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Please stand. O Lord, feed us evermore. Evermore give us that bread to eat. For Lord, indeed, thy Son is that bread of heaven. Do thou now, Lord, in thy mercy, feed us and nourish us, and then, Lord, empower us to serve our neighbor. And may our homes, to the degree that we can use them, and of our substance, show kindness to others according to our capacity and place. And we ask, O Lord, that thou would do us good through these things. To thy name's praise, amen. You may be seated.